And as we get ready now to explore the world, the wonders and the challenges of getting older in today's world, let's begin with the reading that we have planned, which is called The Layers. It's a poem, and it's here somewhere. It's a poem by one of our former poet laureates, called The Layers. Whoops. I'm sorry, did I miss something? Okay. Stanley Kunitz wrote The Layers. I have walked through many lives, some of them my own, and I am not who I was. Though some principle of being abides from which I struggle not to stray. When I look behind, as I am compelled to look before I can gather strength to proceed on my journey, I see the milestones dwindling toward the horizon and the slow fires trailing from the abandoned campsites over which scavenger angels wheel on heavy wings. Oh, I have made myself a tribe out of my true affections, and my tribe is scattered. How shall a heart be reconciled to its feasts of losses? In a rising wind, the manic dust of my friends, those who fell along the way, bitterly stings my face. Yet I turn. I turn, exulting somewhat, with my will intact, to go wherever I need to go, and every stone on the road precious to me. In my darkest night, when the moon was covered and I roamed through wreckage, a nimbus-clouded voice directed me, live in the layers, not on the litter. Though I lacked the art to decipher it, no doubt, the next chapter in my book of transformations is already written. I am not done with my changes. So we are not done with our changes. Twice a month on Thursday afternoons here at WOOF, we have something called Eldertopia. And it's an open conversation for those who are 75-ish to infinity to drop in and chat and visit and talk about things that are important to us. We call it Eldertopia because that's a name that was coined by a geriatric physician named Bill Smith, who talks about the richness of being an elder, that when a community was rich with elders, it was an eldertopia. I think we have that here at WOOF. And today we're going to hear from some of our dearest and oldest folks, those who have been with us a very long time and those who have been with us not so long, but are very important to us nevertheless. So we're going to begin with Helen Platt. Some of you know that name, Helen and Harrison, who is with her today in the front row. I'm going to tell this secret, if that's okay. Harrison is 101 years old, and almost. And Helen, if you want to tell your age, you can. they are perhaps the longliest lives of the lonely lives. They've been married 75 years. I want to just share another poem called The Longly Wed and What the Longly Weds Know. Because not only are we going to hear from Helen Platt, we're going to hear from the Bowmans. They've been married a good long time as well. So this is called The Longly Weds Know. It's by a white American poet named Leah Furness. It goes like this. The lonely weds know that it isn't about the golden anniversary at all, but about all the unremarkable years that Hallmark doesn't even make a card for. It's about the second anniversary when they were surprised to find that they cared more for each other than last year. And the fourth, when both kids had chicken pox and she threw her shoe at him for no real reason. And the sixth, when he accidentally got drunk on the way home from work because being a husband and a father was just so damn hard. It's about the 11th and 12th and 13th years when they discovered they could survive crisis. And the 22nd anniversary when they looked at each other across the empty nest and found it good. It's about the 37th year when she finally decided she couldn't exchange him. And the 38th when he decided a little change wasn't that bad. It's about the 46th anniversary when they both bought cards and forgot to give them to each other. But most of all, it's about the end of the 49th year when they discovered you don't have to be old to have your 50th anniversary. Helen, will you come up and tell us a few of the things that you are grateful for? She's not bringing any notes either. This is a woman who, you know, at her age, most people are no longer even buying green bananas. but for the auction this year, she donated a year's worth of homemade bread. This is a woman with a lot of confidence.
First, I want to share memories. Harrison and I were at the very, very first meeting of WHUF, W-H-U-F, not UU. And there were about 10, 15 people there. We met at what was at the Catlin Gable School, which is now, I think, Raleigh Park School in Raleigh Hills. Well, I won't dwell too much on that. We met then after that in various places, schools, different schools, a community place in Beaverton that had a very, very smelly oil furnace, which we gave up. Joanne remembers. And finally, one of our members, Art Oldman, found this building, which was a Baptist church, I think, several miles from here, and we had a move. And, well, I won't go into any more memories because that's another lecture or whatever. So my gratitude is for what's here and all you people, you young people, and the wonderful results of the efforts of the people who have gone before you to build this fellowship, and all you people, young people, who are going to continue it. So I urge you to keep coming. Volunteer for the fellowship. Do something which helps keep it going. It's not just a few people, but it's got to be everybody. So keep going and volunteer.
Thank you, Helen. So here's the thing. If any of you are free on the first and third Thursday afternoons and would like to come and sit in at Eldertopia and maybe get some of these wonderful elders to tell you some of their fondest memories, you're welcome. You're welcome to join us anytime. So, among the lonely weds, as I promised, are the Bowmans. Louise and Jay haven't been at WUF terribly, terribly long, but they have been UUs for a good length of time. And we're going to hear a little bit from them as a team. Louise and Jay, come on up.
Getting up in front of you is not as easy as talking in a chalice circle. When Thanksgiving was approaching and Salima asked us to do what we're doing, we thought of a lot of things to be thankful for.
With such a long list, we didn't want to bore you, so we managed to work together and cut it down to just a few things that are most important.
Number one is being able to continue in our best friend relationship into old age. Along the way, we've had time to grow into knowing what is most important and not fighting about the rest.
Too much. More than 60 years ago, about the time West Hills Unitarian was beginning to take shape, Jay and I were getting acquainted at a small Presbyterian college in near Knoxville, Tennessee.
I had started out in the Philippines and survived internment camp by the Japanese until the end of World War II with my parents and younger brother. And the reason we're not saying more about that is that I suffer from TMI, too much information, and I tend to go on about it.
I started out in California and moved to Ithaca, New York in the middle of the war with my parents and three sisters, and another sister was added in 1945.
So our next thankful note is that we're led to be here at all, and that we've ended up here with you at WUF. When the other U, Universalism, was added to West Hills Unitarian in 1962, we were still Presbyterian and had one son with another one on the way, living in North Dakota.
During our time together, we've lived in seven different states, including Tennessee, and since 1979 have belonged to four different UU congregations. The song we sang first this morning was a good reminder of why UUs are so important to us. It's such a good song. We're grateful to have returned to Oregon. We were in Corvallis 40 years ago, and we came back in 2015. Living near our oldest son, several dear friends, and a couple of cousins. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for cousins. Family's always been a mainstay for us, even when we are not close together.
Among the Sheridan Trust that we gratefully celebrate our camping and being outdoors as much as we can. Reading books, listening to music, watching movies, enjoying people's creativity and their expressions of compassion.
And we're thankful for our own wellness that lets us keep moving, for continuing to have a sense of curiosity and to be flexible enough to survive modern life.
We are especially grateful that we have settled in a home we love, have found a community in love, where we can contribute to the wellness of the world.
Thank you, each one. Please see yourself. That's the important thing.
So we're kind of getting into our 80s population here, aren't we? Sounds like it. Yvonne, I see you smiling back there. We want to make sure that we have a little time for other folks in the audience who might like to offer a statement of gratitude to do that as well. So I'm going to move on and ask Joanne Nordling to come up and share a bit of her gratitude. A lot of you know Joanne. She's been around a while.
Hi. So I won't take long. I have a poem to read to you that I wrote it for my husband George when he was still living, about getting old, because we talked about the pros and the cons of getting old. But before I read that, there are two things that I am really thankful for that I, Selena asked me to think about. Things I was thankful for. One is just that I've got, especially as I've gotten older, how thankful I am that this inert atoms and molecules somehow came together to be breathing and aware. And in the species of type of awareness I am, and in that I was born into a group of other aware beings who nurtured me and mentored me, amongst which were many people in this fellowship over 60 years. And I'm very grateful for that. The interdependent web that we talk about, that we're all, you don't know where the nurturing or the measuring is coming from sometimes, but I'm grateful for it. So here's the poem I wrote for George, and I called it Memoir. Growing old is wearing out and getting better all at the same time. It's a tightrope trick, balancing farther than you've ever been, knowing that you're bound to fall off. Getting old is understanding how helpless you are to prevent young people from making the same mistakes you did. And it's the aggravation of losing your mind's sharp edge and the satisfaction of realizing you're wiser than ever. It's wearing thicker glasses, but see more clearly. And it's finally being able to empathize with my mother when she said, if one more thing drops off me, I'm not leaving the house. And she really did say that. Growing old is one long vow of gratitude that you lived this long, learned so much, and loved so many.
Thank you, Joanne. And next, it's Carol Price. Carol and I learned, after being here a number of years, that we grew up one town apart in the great state of Connecticut a long time ago. Carol, can you come up and speak?
Today, Sunday, November 25th, is my 82nd birthday. Thank you. Since my birthday always falls near Thanksgiving, it has become over the years an unspoken tradition that my family and I spend it together. In fact, since most of my kids and grandkids live on the East Coast, it's usually the one time of year we can count on to be together. As my children have grown, gotten married and had children of their own, gotten divorced and remarried with stepchildren, the size of my family has also grown. And this year my sister-in-law from Maryland and her family joined us for the holiday. So, on Thanksgiving Day, counting my grandchildren, my step-grandchildren, my sister-in-law's grandchildren, and their respected betrothed and beloveds, there were 14 young people between the ages of 19 and 30. They were delighted to be together, and it was wonderful to watch them, but overwhelming to hear them. Even after lowering and finally taking out my hearing aids, the cacophony was unbearable, and I was very pleased to see that my sister-in-law was also struggling. Eventually, she and I went up to one of the bedrooms. We have known each other since I was 16 and she was 20, and we don't often get to see each other. So we were having a quiet, gentle time, remembering our youth and grousing about our old age, when one of my granddaughters saw us. What are you guys doing up here, she wanted to know. Oh, nothing, just talking, he said. Well, come on downstairs with us. No, we'll stay up here a little longer. Why? We're such fun. And they are. They are such fun. For me, in groups of four or less. But things are what they are, and my hearing is what it is. And I'm grateful to be around this long, to watch these children grow and bloom. They've all left by today, and I'm almost finished entering the last load of dishes, taking the boards out of the dining room table, and packing things to be stored back in the garage. And next year, when I'm 83, I look forward to doing it again. Thank you, Carol.
What a holiday.
And now, last but not least, we're going to hear from Doug Watson. And we're going to hear from Doug on behalf of himself and his wife, Marilyn, as well. Come on down.
For what am I grateful today? In the summer of 1943, the summer in which I turned 6 years of age, I was stricken with encephalitis, a condition in which the water signals from the brain to the muscles do not generate, so the limbs atrophy. There was no known treatment, and it was believed that if the disease attacked the vital organs, I would die. And at the very best, I would probably not walk again. As you see, I now walk with only a faint residue of that disease. I am deeply grateful for that recovery, and for a father who nightly massaged my lifeless limbs, and for a mother who never lost faith that I would recover. One of the effects of encephalitis, I believe, was the fact that I proved to have a low sperm count. Marilyn and I had tried very hard for several years to become pregnant, to no avail. But then, to our delight, one day Marilyn was found to be pregnant. You can appreciate how devastating it was for us that that pregnancy ended in a miscarriage. Thinking that was our last chance to have children, we packed up everything we had in Victoria, B.C., and headed out to Berkeley, where I was going to study. We think daughter Sherry was conceived in Seattle on the way down. We were Canadians with no claim on social services, which meant we had to provide for ourselves or go home. Despite the financial pressures that imposed, we were ecstatic and very grateful for that pregnancy and for the fact that it could be fully carried to term. Debbie followed 2 years later. We feel very blessed to have two lovely daughters, neither of whom gave us a moment of trouble or concern. And we are grateful for our home, not only as a center of family life, but over the years, a refuge for strangers who became friends. A Mormon woman suffering from a kidney failure, abandoned by her family. A young woman and her 3-year-old daughter trying to escape from an abusive relationship. A Japanese exchange student. A young nurse away from home and feeling anxious. A young man, a Navy veteran, with a very dysfunctional family who adopted us as his family. A Kenyan refugee mother, age 32, her son 8 years of age, and her 16-year-old sister, who stayed with us for a month or two, and who still call us Mom and Dad, or Grandpa and Grandma. We've learned something important from each of these varied strangers in the gates, and we are grateful for all of them. Finally, we are exceedingly grateful for the Wolf family. We are no longer able to be as physically active as we once were, but we feel blessed to be accepted into such a warm and welcoming fellowship. We are pleased that we can share in and support the ministry and mission of the fellowship, and I enjoy being a chorister. Thank you all.
Thank you all. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm just trying to determine whether we have as much time as I'd like to have, and as usual, we don't. But you probably noticed the roses sitting down here by the podium. One of the things that I wanted to be sure we did today was to recognize with gratitude those of our members who have been with us over a long period of time, and a middle period of time, and a short period of time. So we have roses, and I would like to start by distributing them to our longest members, the Platts. Rick is going to come help me, and we're going to give you a rose for each decade that you've been a member. So I guess that means 6 for you, doesn't it? So a half a dozen to the Platts. Anybody else that's been with us 60 years? No? Joanne? Yes? Joanne. 6
for Joanne then as well. Gary's going to help hand them out. All right, so we have two six-decade members, three six-decade members, Harrison, Helen, and Joanne.
Three years before you were.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Yeah. So grateful. So grateful for your long-term membership. How about 50 years? Anybody been here for 50 years?
Aha.
There we have it. Marge, Columbus. Marge Columbus gets five roses for you, Marge, and we appreciate you so much. You are so creative and have been so creative over all these years, both in your early family and in Costa. All right, no other 50s? How about 40s? Sharon. Almost what? You are a 50. All right then. I didn't realize that. Sharon Furstitz, you know her. She wears a lot of hats. And who for 40? Ah, Sue Alperin. Sue and Bob Alperin, yes. Goodness. Any more 40s? I know we have some, they're just not here today. All right, 30s. Suzanne Riles. Rebecca Gammon. 30, and I say 30-odd years, right? 30-odd, and I don't mean that, 30-odd, but I mean 30-odd years.
It's a long time. And you've done so much. Rebecca, of course, spent so many
of those years as Director of Religious Education.
And most of the others volunteer.
And, and then there's Suzanne. And Suzanne and John. And Suzanne and John were married here, right?
Yes.
Wonderful. All right, no more 30s. How about 20s? Who's been here 20-some years? Great. Can you, it would really help if you stand up. That would make it easier for this distribution. Okay, so we've got the Tangemans over here, Pat and Rick. And over here, Lynn Schroeder. Thank you both for all you've done. And back there, we've got Natalie Rush, Natalie and Paul. Wow. I'm remembering, Natalie's one of my pals in the Raging Grannies, and she's got a real creative bent to her. And I remember back in the annual dinner days when she and Denise Bush put on a 50s cafe. Remember that? Anybody remember that? That was delightful. And there we've got Don Merritt and is that Kathy Kennedy? Ah! Kathy Kennedy, who now lives in Sisters, but gets back here every now and then. We're so glad. John, who's been our pioneer for climate justice. Any more 20s? I'm a 20-ish, but Tom, where are you? Oh, yeah. Tom, Needham. Again, multi-talented, multifaceted, the leader of our humanist group. Thank you, Tom. Okay, now the big one. Who's been here for a decade or less? Stand up. Stand up. Let's get you. So whether you've been here a year or 10, this is your decade, and we appreciate you all so much. I see Clyde Miller standing up back there, another one of our 80s guys.
Thank you to all those of you who shared this morning. We appreciate you.